loser of Beauty and the Beast, Alan Menken, only underscored once again the loss of Howard Ashman. It was especially galling that Katzenberg's Shrek 2 proved to be the highest-grossing movie of the year, raking in $450 million in the United States alone by the end of summer, and that even Shark Tale, an animated effort from DreamWorks that suffered from comparison to Nemo, grossed over $150 million. As the September board meeting approached, Eisner found himself thinking increasingly about his own future at Disney. As a result of the shareholder vote, his options had narrowed drastically. Except for a few die-hard Eisner loyalists on the board, Disney directors had decided not to extend Eisner's contract as CEO when it expired in September 2006. While none has acknowledged explicitly telling Eisner this, others have said it was implicit in their conversation leading up to the June board meeting when Eisner named Iger as his chosen successor. Moreover, Eisner was the lightning rod for Stanley and Roy's campaign. As long as Eisner remained CEO, there remained the real chance that they would win the proxy fight the following year, and Eisner would be forced out even before the end of his contract. So, as Eisner's 20th anniversary at Disney approached, he began drafting a letter to the Disney board resigning as chief executive, effective when his contract expired in 2006. He relied on Jane as his editor and showed it to no one at Disney. "Putting last things first, I plan to retire from my role as chief executive officer of the company upon the conclusion of the term of my employment agreement on September 30th, 2006," he wrote. "Until then, I shall continue to exert every effort to help the company achieve our goals, to assist the board in selecting the new chief executive officer, and to make the transition expeditious, efficient, and smooth and easy." Over the Labor Day weekend and during the following week, Eisner met or spoke with board members individually and discussed his plans. He showed copies of the letter to at least some of them. The Wall Street Journal's Bruce Orwell had been hearing reports all summer that something was afoot with Eisner and was already close to writing a story when he heard about some of these meetings. Faced with the imminent prospect of a story, Eisner gave Orwell a copy of his letter and an exclusive interview that Thursday. Eisner insisted that his decision had nothing to do with the shareholder vote, the loss of his chairman's title, Stanley and Roy's campaign, or any pressure from the board. It was not asked for, not motivated by current circumstances at all, Eisner insisted. In a September 10th page one scoop, Orwell wrote that the decision signals the end of Mr. Eisner's two-decade stewardship of one of the world's best-known brands. But did it signal the end of Eisner's reign? Or was the resignation a clever ploy to derail Roy and Gold's proxy fight and buy time? Eisner's conversations with directors triggered a flurry of phone calls and conversations among them. Except for Judith Estrin and Leo O'Donovan, most agreed it was the latter, noting that Eisner's letter said nothing about remaining on the board or reclaiming his title of chairman. In Eisner's master plan, as one director described it, Iger would assume the chief executive's title in 2006, Eisner would remain as chairman, and nothing much would really have changed. Gold and Roy were certainly skeptical in a September 13th